All Pleasing, by W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume XXVIII. June, 1949. Number 11. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. I am glad that, so far as I know, my readers approve of the line of thought I have been pursuing in my writings for the past several months. I found that many of the saints did not know how to translate the doctrine of God into everyday living, and to see it in the light of daily experiences. I saw also that in some places a failure to do this was bringing the glorious doctrine of the reconciliation of all into disrepute in the minds of many thoughtful people. For instance, it is incompatible with the doctrine of the ultimate salvation of all mankind, for a believer to carry malice in his heart toward anyone in all the world, and more so if the malice is toward a fellow saint. If God intends to save all, then it is quite evident that he loves all. He holds no malice toward any. When he chastises, it is for the good of the one being chastised. Moreover, he is Lord of each life. This is especially true of his saints, who are called, in Romans 14, his domestics. When we take it upon ourselves to judge them, we are setting aside the domestic of another, and this would be wrong, even if the master were a man. It is more so when the master is the Lord. He reserves the right to deal with his own, and does not delegate this to us. I know of no scripture that makes it obligatory on me to carry malice against anyone, no matter how badly he has treated me. If I find more happiness in forgetting it, do the scriptures tell me I shall not do so? I do not believe God will ever chasten me for being too gracious. He certainly will not whip me badly for it. Writers have said hard things about others. Papers have, in some instances, been vehicles of war among the saints. I thought it was time we had some teaching on kindness, love, graciousness. Bickering and hatred among teachers were bringing the doctrine into disrepute. Then I discovered that there are only a few who believe what they profess to believe, strongly enough to be kept from worrying and fretting. It seemed that many believed the doctrine only during fair weather. It reminded me of the lady who jumped out of a buggy when the harness broke and the horse began to prance. The preacher who was standing by said, "Sister, I thought you believe in predestination." To which she replied hotly, "I do, until the harness breaks." I found that no world iron, as my father used to call them, could beat the average saint worrying and fretting when something went contrary to his liking. So I decided that we needed some insistence on calmness of life and disposition, and trust in the God whom we profess to trust. This was after an intelligent girl said to me, "It seems to me that if Mama believed what she claims to believe, she would be more calm, and not worry and fret so much." I have not found immorality among the saints. Many seem to be unduly concerned about this. The Spirit of Christ in the human spirit seems to enable them to guard well against a dirty thing in their lives. I see no cause for alarm on this score. Paul say to the Colossians, "Therefore we also, from the day on which we hear, do not cease praying for you and requesting that you may be filled full with the realization of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, you to walk worthily of the Lord into all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the realization of God, being endued with all power, in accord with the might of his glory, into all endurance and patience with joy." Colossians 1:9-11. Walk is a figure of daily conduct —not of doctrine, nor of forms of worship. If our conduct toward God and man is as it ought to be, we will walk into the position of all pleasing —that is, pleasing God and mankind. We can't please the world by teaching doctrine. This is no reason why we should abandon it, however, for it does please God. It certainly has its place and a very important place. But those who can't agree with the doctrine, can and do agree with the kind of walk that I have outlined in this article, and thus God and men will be pleased at us. If we walk into this position, we will be doing as Christ did, when he progressed in wisdom and in favor with God and men, Luke 2:52. We are thus bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the realization of God. Progressing further, we walk into all endurance and patience with joy. Let us go over this again, for it is important. We are filled with the realization of his will, all Paul prays that we shall be, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This understanding gives us assurance that God means what he promises us. We are, therefore, able to appropriate his promises and apply them to daily life. When we are able to do this, we are then walking worthily of the Lord. But when we think of his relationship to us as something that does not touch our daily life, then we are not walking worthily of the Lord. If we realize that his presence and his promise are on the job wherever we are, and act accordingly, we are walking worthily of him. It is then that we walk into a very lofty position, that of being pleasing to him and to mankind all pleasing. It is then that we bear fruit in every work. We have had the realization of his will, but now we grow into a realization of him. He is not divorced from his will. It is then that we are endued with all power. While we are weak in ourselves, we are strong in him. And this is power for daily living. It is not just some imagined power that one can ever manifest. It is power to show in our daily lives, in our calmness, in our trust, in our lack of worrying, in our mental attitude, in our health, and in our very enthusiasm for living, the fact that God means something to us, now, in these mortal bodies in which we live. This power is in accord with the might of his glory. And his glory includes all that he does for us here, and all that he will ever do for us. Glory means esteem. When we are living in the might of his glory, we are living in appreciation or esteem of what he is to us every moment, and of his touch of us in every way. We have now come into the position of all endurance and patience. This patience is exercised with joy. Can anything be more godlike in our lives than patience with joy, instead of worry and fretfulness? We find, when we have come into this blessed position, that we have no time for hatred, malice, bickering, hard sayings, gossip, worry, fretfulness, upset emotions, etc. This makes for more joy in life, and better health, all other things being as they ought to be. It is then that we live the life of love, to the extent that no one can discover any hatred in us no desire to do harm to anyone. We are sorry for the erring. We want to correct those who are at fault, if we can do so without being thought officious. We want the love of all. We follow the path that is suited to excellence, and everyone who knows us knows that we are as far as possible from doing hurt to any person on earth. It is then that people of spiritual understanding will give attention to us when we teach the doctrine of God. Unless we live the doctrine, let us not take it upon our tongue or pen. Let it alone, we will only bring it into disgrace. It is true that God wills all mankind to be saved, but we can hardly convince anyone that we believe it, unless our attitude toward all is what we claim the attitude of God is. It is true that God will be filling our every need in accord with his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, but folks won't believe that we are sincere in saying it, if we show by our fear and worry and distrust, that we are afraid to appropriate this promise to ourselves. It is true that all are to be reconciled to God, but we do not get very far in preaching it, if we are in a state of non-reconciliation toward those with whom we have to do. Some of the very bitterest men are those who claim to believe that God's love embraces all. Who believes that they are sincere in what they say when they talk about universal reconciliation? Quietness of spirit and mind is one of the most precious possessions. It is easy to be busy and in feverish haste. That is what is the matter with mankind, now. Return to Main Index page